I'd like to welcome into our studio Kristen Neva and Todd Neva, authors of a new book, Heavy. Kristen, Todd, thank you both for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Kristen and Todd wrote this book. It's Finding Meaning After a Terminal Diagnosis, A Young Family's First Year with ALS. Todd, you were diagnosed with ALS. Can you tell me the story from the day of diagnosis?
Well, I think I was a typical guy, 39 years old, and thought myself invincible. The first symptoms I had, I was lifting my daughter out of her car seat. My son was newborn. My daughter was 4 years old, and I went to lift her out of her car seat. My left arm just didn't work. I just thought it was a pinched nerve. You know, your arm just didn't seem to work, and I think we've all had that feeling at times. So I went to a chiropractor and had some adjustments, and that did seem to help, but over the course of the next few months, it just progressively got worse. And then I got a referral for physical therapy. I thought, well, maybe it's a little bit beyond the scope of a chiropractor, so I got a referral for physical therapy. And then on my appointment, a neurologist was looking at me, and he immediately canceled the physical therapy. He took a look at me. He said, well, you've just progressed too far. You already have atrophy in your left arm. You need an MRI right away. So I went and I got an MRI, and I came back a week later, and he said, well, your neck looks fine. And I said, oh, that's good. He said, well, it's not necessarily good. I think you have ALS. So that happened in 2010.
And you were 39 years old?
Right.
Two small children, a newborn, and four-year-old. You're sitting in a doctor's office, and they say, we think you have ALS.
Right.
Were you with him, Kristen?
I was with him, and at first we were in disbelief, but then we saw another neurologist, and he confirmed the diagnosis, and our world turned upside down. ALS, it's a progressive neuromuscular disorder that leads to total paralysis and eventual death, usually in 3 to 5 years. So we really didn't even know if our kids would be able to remember their father. Mm-hmm. So it was really, really a shock to us. And I started reading books about suffering and some other ALS memoirs, but I was left feeling alone because some of the books I read, the authors seemed to have it all figured out, but I didn't understand how they got to that point. And because I just felt like I would never be able to cope with such a traumatic diagnosis.
You said you were reading books on suffering. Was that the suffering that the ALS patient goes through physically, or the suffering for the entire family? What answers were you seeking?
I was searching for why. Why us, and how do we cope? Which I think is kind of a universal thing. So I wasn't just reading ALS books, but I was also reading books by people who are paralyzed or who are facing other really traumatic situations and looking for models of how to deal with this.
Now, I did have a chance to read the book, well written, and I thought that this book has a lot to offer for people that are not dealing with a terminal illness, but for anyone who's experiencing any or has experienced any kind of loss in their life. Now, Todd, after that diagnosis, a terminal diagnosis, what does a dad go through emotionally?
For a dad, one of the most important things is to make sure that you leave your kids with a legacy. Now, you want to raise your kids up. You want them to have all those life lessons. You want your son to be able to make the right choices. You want your daughter to be able to know or to understand what a man should be, so that when she looks for a spouse, she's looking for the right kind of spouse. So the biggest fear that I had is that I wouldn't be able to teach them those lessons. So I did a few things, like I got journals for them and started writing notes to them, and just trying to pour out my thoughts, and not just to them, but also, you know, to my family in general, to my extended family, to my friends. I just started writing, and that's when we really started blogging. I think in this new age that we have, these emotions sort of get poured out. Mm-hmm. But
do you think that's has that been a blessing, the ability to get your emotions out to everyone in a matter of seconds. Has that helped you, Kristen?
Yeah, I think it helps, especially when people respond and they say, thank you for writing that. That's how I feel. I don't feel so alone anymore. Then you have this sense of community, sometimes across the nation or across the world with other people. And that's been the case with our book, too. When some other people who are facing various difficult kinds of suffering say, this resonates with me. These are the questions I was asking. These are the answers I was searching for, trying to wonder, why is God allowing this? And so it's a universal question.
Tell me about your faith since day of diagnosis, Todd.
Well, my faith since my diagnosis has been, I would say, rather unshaken. But I think what's more interesting is my faith before the diagnosis, like, let's say about 10 years before, even more than that, 20 years before. A good comparison in terms of how faith helps is that 20 years before, I lost a job and I lost a girlfriend, and I was just shaken. And I spent the next several years just really in self-pity. And I didn't feel, I was bitter. I didn't feel any love. I didn't feel any self-worth at all. And, you know, fast forward several years, and I have a wife. I have my God. I have fellowship in a really good church. And then I get diagnosed with a terminal illness. And was I affected? You know, of course. And what is it? Yeah, I cried. I did all of those things that you would expect a person to do when they're facing a terminal diagnosis. But I got through it. And I think that's just the difference of having that faith and not having that faith. That, you know, I could see the difference. I had, you know, there was the before faith, Todd, and there was the after faith, Todd, and it makes a difference. It matters.
The both of you have co-authored this book. Tell me the structure. You write and then Kristen writes. So how did you come upon the way you would do this book, and why did you title it Heavy?
Well, we first started writing the book about 6 months after the diagnosis. And this, the reason we started writing the book was in part because the other books that we had read on suffering did make us feel somewhat alone. Now, we, in the first year, our emotions were very raw, and we thought that there was a need to explain to people that it's normal and it's okay to have all these feelings, to understand that yes, it's okay to go to God even in your anger, but just as long as you just keep going to Him. So that's kind of the reason why. Now, we started writing the book in one voice, trying to write in a single voice using words like we and our, but quickly we found that wasn't working because we each had a different reaction. Mm-hmm. Kristen's reaction to this was very different than mine. I think that's normal.
Kristen, your initial reaction?
Yeah, I felt like I wasn't going to be able to cope. I mean, my whole world had pretty much unraveled, and so I had a lot of questioning. My portion of the book is more introspective and in going through the theology of it too, the theology of suffering. Where is God in suffering? What is the purpose of suffering? And Todd seemed to take it more in stride than I did. And so I hope our book shows that it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. We don't gain perspective on these things overnight. It's a process, and it's okay to be in process. And God is with us even in that process.
I should explain that the structure of the book, we have a dual voice. Well, I narrate the story, and
yes,
then at the end of each chapter, Kristen writes a journal entry. We went to a writer's conference after we had an initial manuscript, and one of the coaches at the writing conference told us how unique that structure was. And we thought it was interesting because the guys who had read the manuscript, my parts resonated with them. They were talking to me about how much they enjoyed something that I had said. And then the women who had read it loved Kristen's part.
Mm-hmm.
And they just focused on all the things that she had said, and we realized that, wow, this is just really interesting how men and women just react so differently to the same event.
Now, as I'm talking with Kristen and Todd Neba, I'm sitting across two people that are passionate about this book, but I'm sitting across from two people that are smiling and full of life. How did you get past the pity? How did you get past the fear?
For me, it's a journey. It's a journey, and it's a daily journey, and I keep on seeking God, asking Him for strength, but then learning to live in the moment and be thankful for what we have today, for our relationship today. I write about that in the book.
Why did you title the book Heavy?
Heavy has a double meaning. Right now, a cup of coffee is too heavy for Todd to pick up. So things that are ordinary, lightweight things become very heavy. But then heavy is also a synonym for grief. The word grief is from the Latin word for heavy, gravis. And so it's a heavy subject. Grief is a heavy subject.
This book will give each and every one of us that reads this something to take into our own lives. Todd, how many years ago since your diagnosis?
It's 4 years.
4 years. You're in a wheelchair, but you're able, you're mobile. And how is the ALS progressing, may I ask?
Well, for my particular ALS is relatively slow progressing. This disease can cut people down very, very fast. I had a friend of mine in Racine who died 6 months after diagnosis. For the fact that I'm still able to transfer and walk a few steps here and there is just really amazing after 4 years. But I do have progression month after month. Every month there's something else I can't do.
Tell me, how do people get the book?
The book is available at This Little Light in Hancock and at Book World in Houghton. It's also on Amazon. Just search for Heavy ALS or Heavy and then our last name Neva, N-E-V-A. And then we're also going to be doing a book talk at the Portage Lake District Library in Houghton this coming Tuesday, March 25th from 7 to 8 p.m.